You're listening to SB Nation Radio. This is the Tony D Show.
I don't know how much the Florida Gators are under the radar. They are nationally ranked. They've won 9 in a row. They did beat Kentucky by 22. But not a lot of people know a lot about them, the style of play, and what we're exactly seeing in Gainesville. Andy Hutchins, though, does, from SB Nation, covers the Florida Gators. How are you, Andy?
Hey, I'm good.
All right, give me an idea about Mike White. Who is Mike White?
So Mike White is the best coach you've ever heard of.
That's right.
I would guess at this point he is the best coach without an NCAA tournament appearance at this point. 5 years prior to this one, he has yet to make the NCAA tournament. 4 of those years, Louisiana Tech, and then one last year with Florida. But you know, this year he's going to have a top 4 seed at the very least. He's got a really, really good team of Gators going into Kentucky on Saturday.
All right. Now, in terms of when Billy Donovan left to coach the Oklahoma City Thunder, now you've got a pretty good program there in Florida, and it won a couple of national titles. Donovan had always had the team pretty much competitive his entire time down there. Looking across the landscape of college basketball, how did Jeremy Foley's dial land on a guy like Mike White and not somebody bigger or splashier?
You know, I think it was for Foley, it was seeing Mike White as a guy who could be what Billy Donovan was back in 1996, 1997, 1998. Billy Donovan wasn't always the guy who won 2 back-to-back national championships and took Florida to 4 Final Fours. At one point, he was a really young coach. He was a bit headstrong. He was, you know, not necessarily a guy that anybody thought was really immediately ready to be great at Florida. When he came, he was, you know, 2 years at Marshall into a head coaching career that nobody thought was necessarily going to be a Hall of Fame one. But over his, I think it's 20 years at Florida, 19 or 20, Donovan had a Hall of Fame career. So, you know, it was seeing a lot of the same sorts of qualities, whether it's in preparation, whether it's style of play. White does play a very aggressive defense that, you know, has some defense turning into offense. That's a lot like what Billy Donovan had early in his career at Florida. And I think it's also just the kind of character that White has. He's a really smart guy. He certainly knows advanced analytics really well, but he's also not necessarily somebody who is going to come off as too brash or too arrogant about it. He's really smart and he's really confident, but he's not necessarily somebody who going to turn off, you know, fans or players or boosters because of it. And I think those were the qualities that Jeremy Foley saw in White that said, yeah, this guy's a lot like Billy, and maybe he could be Billy for us 2.0.
It's a kind of a cliche, but I think it applies a little bit here. You never want to be the guy that follows the guy. You want to be the guy that follows the guy that followed the guy. But in terms of Mike White, was he running into a pressure cooker there, or did people kind of understand we're making a transition and it might take a year or two for his vision to be on the court?
I think people understood that it was not necessarily an add water, get wins situation. You know, Florida, the 2 years prior to Donovan leaving, had a really great year, won 30 straight games at one point, lead the Final Four. But the last year that Donovan spent at Florida, he didn't make the NCAA tournament. It was a team that was disjointed in a lot of ways, that didn't play connected, was Donovan's favorite word to use. It was a team that had some issues fitting pieces together and making those pieces to a greater sum than the parts. And I think White struggled with that in his first year. It was the same core, basically, and it was a lot of the same problems. You know, there were not a whole lot of games where you thought this was the team that was going to make an NCAA tournament under White. It was sort of close, but not quite. I think this year what we've seen is that White has been able to get these players, the same players again, to play a little more connected and play a little more unselfishly and do a little bit more deferring when necessary and stepping up when necessary. And he's made the same players that Donovan couldn't get to the NCAA tournament 2 years ago, that he couldn't get to the NCAA tournament 1 year ago, into a team that's really going to be a threat, I think, to make a Final Four.
Andy Hutchins joins us. SB Nation covers the Florida Gators. Again, won 9 in a row. We'll play Kentucky coming up on Saturday at Rupp Arena. They already beat the Wildcats by 22. The identity of this Florida team defensively, is it, you know, like we think of West Virginia in the press and Syracuse in the zone. Is there an identity to Florida's defense?
I would say it's disciplined pressure. It's not really a press so much. White came in with a reputation as a really good press defensive coach after his 4 years at Louisiana Tech, but he's kind of backed off that some at Florida. There's a lot of on-ball pressure in the half court, but it's not quite the same. A lot of active hands, of course, steals. And a couple of really good guards, and Casey Hill and Chris Chiodo have been going freelance for them. But, you know, Florida's basic defensive identity, I think, is not allowing easy shots and not allowing teams to do what they want. You know, when Kentucky came down, Kentucky found it very, very difficult to finish at the rim against Florida, despite the fact that Florida is not an especially good perimeter or rim protection team. No longer has John McBoone, who was a big factor in that when Kentucky came to town. But, you know, this is a Wildcats team that really likes to be able to get easy twos when possible, and Florida didn't allow that. I think that really stymied Kentucky. So the idea that Florida tries to make teams play left-handed, I think is maybe something that you should throw into the identity there. But beyond that, I think it's defense turning the offense, defense not necessarily being pressed, but half-court pressure. And also, I think, just a lot of smart, efficient decisions for White's team.
In terms of star power, we know that the Billy Donovan teams had that, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, those guys. Is there a guy that is the number one player on this team, or is it really balanced? Because statistically, nothing really pops out from the Gators.
No, I think it's really a team where there's a lot of guys who could be the guy on any given night. Kayvon Allen is, I would say, the most talented player on the team, certainly the most talented scorer. He's coming off a 26-point outing against South Carolina that was really tremendous. He was 5 for 7 from the field, and then he did a lot of work at the free throw line, so he can get his points very efficiently. But, you know, Canyon Berry can be the best player on this team on any given night. Hill can. Chris Chioza, who has a triple-double this season despite being 5'8", quote-unquote, he's maybe 5'8". These guys have all been the best player on this team on multiple nights this year. And then you even go further and you find a guy like Kavarius Hayes who can be that person, or you know, Devin Robinson, who may have the most scoring talent on the team, he could be that guy too. So there's a lot of balance. I would not say there's any one star or any one player that Florida opponents need to lock down. And I think that's part of what makes Florida really dangerous, is that the balance is so deep that, you know, if you get one guy out of his rhythm, if you're a, you know, a quintet, maybe a sextet of other players who can be in rhythm on that night.
It's got to be fun watching Canyon Berry throw free throws, right? Like his dad. That's got to be fantastic to see that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a meme for Florida fans.
Absolutely.
Like, broadcasters love to talk about it. You know, it's an odd thing, and it's a great thing, because those three free throws go in. Canyon Berry, I think, up among the national leaders in free throw percentage. Not quite as high as his dad, and his dad has had some amusingly semi-pointed criticism of those free throws over the course of his season, because he's often in the stands watching Canyon. But, you know, if you've got a player who can do something that's a little bit unusual, that player is going to be worth watching. And Barry and his free throws are definitely that.
All right. In terms of the way they played Kentucky, you kind of touched on it a little bit, how the defense against the Wildcats in Gainesville, that formula that they used against the Wildcats in getting to an NCAA tournament and to do damage, if you are predicted to do damage and running into teams like that, do they have all the pieces offensively and defensively that you kind of look for? And I know it's a crapshoot in the tournament, but the kind of idea of what makes you run through the NCAA tournament, do the Gators fit that bill?
You know, I think there are nights when it looks like Florida could win a national championship. There's nights when Florida's that good. But there's also nights when this looks like a team that might struggle to get to a Sweet 16 or might struggle to get even past the first couple of games. You know, there are ways in which Florida can elevate itself from what I think is, you know, a baseline of pretty good play to elite play. When Florida makes its free throws and makes its three-pointers, it's great. When Florida really gets steals in bunches and turns those into offense, it's great. But I don't think there's necessarily something that you look at on a consistent basis, because those free throws don't always come in bunches and the threes don't always go down. You can't look at Florida and say, yes, this team is a surefire Final Four team. It's going to depend a lot on draw. It's going to depend a lot on opposing personnel. I think not having John Okudo down the stretch is going to be significant, especially if Florida gets paired up with a number one or number two seed that's got a load down low to deal with. But I also think that this is definitely the sort of team that, if it does get hot, could make that run. And I think the more this team has come together, especially in SEC play, the more we've seen it get hot enough to believe in it going into March Madness.
Andy, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Hope we can get together during the NCAA tournament, when the Gators will certainly be one of the higher-ranked seeds. I appreciate it, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. 23-5 of the Gators going up against Kentucky at Rupp Arena Saturday, who are also 23-5. And they're going for the season sweep of the Wildcats. Coming up, big deal, little deal, a no deal, what happened last night in Oakland. SB Nation Radio.